Hey, listen, are you thinking about buying tickets to your favorite sports, concert, or theater event? Maybe you want to experience a basketball game courtside rather than on your couch. Maybe you go to a hockey game and you bang on the glass instead of your own TV in your own living room. Then head on over to FanExchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. Tickets purchased on FanExchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and worrying about getting in. So whether it's NBA, Major League Baseball, WrestleMania, Coachella, maybe a Broadway musical, FanExchange will get you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at FanExchange.com. Use the promo code Rome, and you'll get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange. We have tickets. That's Fan Exchange. Coming up in about 35 minutes, I've got the head football coach at Arizona, Kevin Sumlin. If you're joining us late, way back in hour number one, I talked about the drama and the dysfunction involving the Patriots. 5 months from today, Monday Night Football takes place. We wrap up week one of the NFL season, but that may as well be an eternity. 5 months. You can imagine what will happen between now and then with the Patriots. They are having more and more issues. And now comes a report that Bill Belichick was all over Gronk in the preseason when he was not playing well. Quote, chastised him in front of the players for being a TB12 client. I understand that there is a Patriot way. I understand that Belichick has got his own strength and conditioning crew. I understand why he'd want to keep everybody in-house. I understand that he has an issue with Alex Guerrero. In fact, from the sounds of things, he hates that guy. I understand that Guerrero is a little sketchy, if you look at his background. I understand that he's a little unorthodox, but look at the results. He's got a 40-year-old quarterback who's the MVP. He's got Gronk, who just had one of his healthier, more productive seasons. Why would you not let these guys work out with that guy, even if he is unorthodox, even if he is rubbing them up with magic lotion? Even if he is telling them things like water prevents sunburn. I mean, whatever it is, it's working. And it seems like anytime there's a story about drama or dysfunction this offseason, it seems to center around that. TB12, Alex Guerrero, their methods, the fact that more and more guys want to work out with him and not the Patriots training staff. I don't know, Hood. I mean, you are the greatest coach ever. You've forgotten more football than the rest of the world combined will ever know. But maybe you let these guys work with that guy because they like him and they're staying healthy and they're effective and they're playing well. Why do you want to keep fighting that fight? In fact, if I were you, I'd stand down. Literally. I would stand down if I were Bill Belichick. Stand down. Let Guerrero rub some of that lotion on you, feed you some of his avocado ice cream. If it works for TB12, it might be good enough for HC1. Hoodie. I know it's your way or the highway. I know you've got a fistful of rings. The guy is 40. He's playing some of his best football ever. You're busted up. Beaten down tight end was actually on the field for almost an entire season. And he loves the guy. So why are you not happy about this? Instead of hating this guy, why are you not happy to have a resource like that? But he's obviously not. Won't let the guy on the sideline. Won't let the guy on the team playing. I mean, he acts like he's going to sneak up on him and rub some of that lotion on him. Maybe it would help, Hoodie. Maybe it would help. Rome, these issues would not exist if Belichick would just praise us more with player of the week trophies or at least some post-game orange slices. Sign Tom Brady. Yeah, they don't look like they're having very much fun. Brady, Gronk, any of those guys. Apparently winning does not solve everything. Patriot fans, what do you make of this? Now what? I mean, do you really want to risk killing what's left of that dynasty over a trainer? What a weird way. I mean, I understand that winning makes everything tough because guys then want to get paid. Guys then want credit. It's hard to win. That's what makes it so hard to repeat. Two reasons. One, you've got a bullseye on your back. Everybody is gunning for you every single day. Two, success goes to people's heads. They get complacent. They want credit. They want money. Normally, getting to work out who you want to work out with is not a reason why teams get broken up. That normally is not a dynasty killer. But it might be here, or at least what's left of that dynasty. Meanwhile, the Masters is now over. Patrick Reed is your 2018 champion. But there was one other storyline that needs to be addressed. And that is the matter of Tony Finau, the biggest badass on tour. Now, you'll recall that he dislocated his ankle while celebrating a hole-in-one in the par 3 challenge on Wednesday prior to the tourney. It was nasty. It was revolting. One of the worst things I've ever seen on a golf course. No exaggeration. One of the worst things I have ever seen on a golf course. Me? That happens to me? And I'm pretty much going to pass out from the pain, from the embarrassment. I'm looking for a place to nap it out, call it a day, and probably not get back up. I mean, at that point, just go ahead. Put me in the bunker. Put me in the ground. I'm not bouncing back. And we haven't even talked about the worst part. But I'm not sure what was worse. The agony of the injury, a dislocation of your ankle, or the agony of busting up that ankle in front of the entire world. But all Finau did was pop that thing right back in and keep on rolling. And by rolling, I mean going out on Thursday, firing a 4-under at Augusta National, and being the first-round leader for a chunk of that day in his first-ever Masters appearance. And then after rounds of 74 and 73, he comes back on Sunday with an unreal 66, which included six birds on the back nine. Six straight birdies on the back nine of Augusta National on a Sunday. It's insane. But to do it on a dislocated ankle is even more ridiculous. But as always, whenever you see something that seems too good to be true, it generally is, and the radar goes off. I mean, there's no way that ankle was that bad. It couldn't have been. It couldn't have been that bad if that guy was going that low on Sunday at the Masters. It couldn't have been that bad if he was birdieing 12 through 17 on Masters Sunday. I mean, you've got to have everything working right from your head to your feet. So the video and the story and the fact that he snapped that thing back into place, it really wasn't that bad. It obviously couldn't have been that bad if he shot 66 on Sunday. But now that it's all over, and now that we have picks, and if you're watching on CBS Sports Network and eating, I would suggest maybe you put that food down for a minute. Consider this a new diet for you, because I'm about to show you some picks that will make you not only want to skip lunch, but maybe dinner and maybe breakfast tomorrow as well. All right? So this next picture on television is graphic in nature. You have been warned. Here it is. Take a look at this guy's ankle. I mean, it's disgusting. Truly and genuinely disgusting. Hideous. Disfigured. I mean, forget golfing. How'd that guy even manage to stand up on that ankle? It looks like the before and after pic of an amputation.
It's disgusting.
I mean, I gotta say, I'm getting a little bit uneasy, kind of queasy, just looking at the pic. It's shocking. I mean, this guy did that to his ankle. And then he finished in the top 10 in the Masters. This dude truly is an Iron Man. And the best part is, Finau is glossing it a cankle. He's laughing about it. Hilarious. It looks like he nearly lost his leg below the knee, and this guy's laughing about it. And then he tweeted out a summary of it this week. Here's his summary of the week. What a week. Top 10 in my Masters debut. It was an eventful week. Hole in one, check. Failed celebration, check. Adversity, check. Two rounds in the 60s, check. 2019 Masters invite, check. I believe we find out most about who we are through adversity. Thanks for all the well wishes all week. I'll tell you what, if we find out who we are through adversity, then this guy is officially the toughest and most impressive dude on tour. Because that was some serious adversity. And in his first trip to the Masters, he had two rounds in the 60s, six straight birdies on the back nine on Sunday, and a top tenner. And he did it all on an ankle that would have kept most athletes in any other sport out for weeks. Fact. That's a fact. That injury would have kept most athletes in any other sport out for weeks. And this guy was back out there the very next day. Man's game, T.
Man's game.
Man's game, T.
Man's game, bitch.
Man's game, T.
Man's game.
That was so strong. I knew that was good. I thought that was good. And maybe for 1 second, I was skeptical when I saw him go as low as he did and finish with a top 10 in his first Masters until I saw the picks. Looks like dude had his ankle lopped off before and after amputation. Dear Jim, we are so psyched that one of our brethren, Tony Finau, punked the hell out of those prim, sissy golf players. Our boy showed up and blew up is the big story. Snap twig, no big, just pop it back into place, tape it up, grab the next shift. And how hard is that sport that they take oh so seriously? They get a bag full of sticks and no board work. Most of them do have pretty smiles, though. Signed, hockey players. War Tony Finau for Conn Smythe. A hockey fan hyping a golfer. That's the highest praise. Speaking of which, Podcast Tuesday, starring Clint Mlarchuk. Sabre fans know that name all too well. He has an incredible story. In fact, I don't ever have podcasts with guys that don't have incredible stories. So that's once a week. We've got our Daily Jungle podcast, which you should listen to in the event that you miss any part of the program or you can't find the show. And then we've got our weekly Jim Rohn podcast, exclusive and original content. Like Clint Mlarchuk has not been on this program. The interview that I'm going to do with him later on today, which will be great, is something that I could never do on this show. It's long form. You could not do that interview on this show. Romy, that leaked pic of Finau's foot was freaking disgusting. Here's to hoping pictures of Hawk's purple cat-tattooed lower back do not leak after he finishes his week of shows. Signed, Roland in Pittsburgh. You know Hawk. Hawk will get like one of those back tats of his other cat. Like that tramp stamp of a cat. Hawk, you know you're thinking about it. Just don't. Hey, Rome. To be fair, Tony Finau's ankle was the second worst injury on a golf course. Signed, Harry Ford. I don't get it, Lee. Oh, Harry Ford. You mean Harrison Ford, where he missed not only the runway, but the airport altogether in Santa Monica. What, you mean on number 9 at Penrose? You mean where he landed? When he landed his aircraft on the par 3, number 9 tee box? That Harry Ford? Yeah, I get it, Lee. It just wasn't funny. None of your stuff is. All right, still ahead. Kevin Sumlin is coming up. He's coming up. In the meantime, we may go journo on journo crime. I don't do that. Again, I don't talk about other shows. Other shows have always talked about me. People talk about me. I interview athletes. I talk sports. I don't get into that. But if you got a couple of journos in a local market, neither of whom is working at a Major League Baseball game, letting their hands go, maybe I'll get there. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Let's see. Stay with it. If there's a good phone call, it lessens the likelihood that I will get there. But then again, is that not the biggest if ever, if there's a good phone call? You've got your number, use it, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
This segment's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. because Kevin Sumlin's coming up next hour. I think I'll try to get a phone call in here. And I do want to talk about the Mets. Mets are playing very good baseball. So I'll hit that in a second. But first, let's go to Connecticut. Lou in Connecticut. Great to have you, Lou. How are you?
Hey, Jim. First time in a very long time. How you been, my friend?
Good, bud. Good, Lou. How about you?
Good, sir. Good. Two things, if I can. First of all, I looked at my crystal ball, and I see Mr. Mayfield going to the Giants. I just want to let you know. Perfect fit with Eli on his last leg. I think that's a real good good prognostication right there.
Okay.
Also, if I may, the Masters. I got to say something about the Masters. Jim, I got to tell you, I think it is the best venue in sports, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the commercial breaks, very, very limited. Number two, I am one of the advocates for no cell phones. I got to tell you, makes it a much more enjoyable presentation. And number three, Jim Nantz. Jim Nantz is a great golf commentator. I mean, you got to admit that he really, really does a good job with the PGA.
Can I tell you something, Lou? I agree with almost everything you just said. First of all, good to have you on. Good to hear your voice. Thank you very much, Lou. Let me respond to that. When you say you have to admit Jim Nantz is a great golf voice, what do you mean I have to admit? You don't need to get me to admit that. I love Jim Nantz. Jim Nantz is class. There is nobody who has ever done that better than Jim Nantz still does that. So I don't have to admit anything. I want to admit that. I want to give you that. I love Jim Nantz. One of my favorite things, like around Super Bowl or some of the other events, I'll be in the gym getting some cardio in. It's my man Jim Nantz getting after it. That's always fun. And a former classmate of Steve Elkington's at Houston. In the podcast, Elk tells this great story about when they were in college together at Houston, that Jim Nantz would just do mock broadcasts. And Elk looks back on it right now and he goes, you have no idea how awesome that was, hearing him call play-by-play on things. Because we all did that when we were in college. Except there's only one Jim Nantz. Augusta is a beautiful, beautiful sporting venue. He said, I'm a fan because there are no cell phones. There are no cell phones. No running. No cell phones. I mean, it's a different sort of place. It's a beautiful place. No yelling. No cell phones. The fans are so positive. You know, it's just, it's the etiquette is unbelievable. That's why that Patrick Reed thing was so interesting to see. That when he came out to that first tee, there was polite applause. When Rory came out, there was a roar. I mean, essentially, and they don't root against you there, but it's almost like they were rooting against him there, and that only motivated Pat Reed. He got fuel from that, and to say that he didn't would be a lie. It may have stung a little bit. It might have bothered him, but he's one of those guys that you tell him he can't do something, he's going to find a way to get it done. And in the end, that hurt. That roar for Rory hurt Rory more than it hurt Reed. Rory saying the day before, oh, all the pressure's on him. He's never won a major. He's got that 3-shot lead. All the pressure's on him. Really, Rory? Then why did you go out there the next day and not make a single putt that mattered? You know, I would say it's tough to putt when you have both hands around your throat, but I won't go that hard on Rory. But he had a bad day now. That first drive of the day should tell you that he was going to have a bad day. And calling out Reed the night before was a bad idea. I also love the fact that Reed was watching TV the morning of the event and taking note of everybody saying, he can't do it. He can't win. Nota Begay, I think, was the only guy who said that he's going to be fine. Everybody else said, and you can understand why, right? Rory was playing well. Rory's Rory. Rory needed that to complete the career slam. Patrick Reed had won 5 tournaments and never won a Grand Slam. You could see why all the talking heads were saying it, but he was watching it. And if he wasn't watching it, it somehow worked its way back to him, and it worked in his favor. Different guy. In terms of Rory, talking that junk, going psychological warfare, trying to get inside of Reed's head the day before. I mean, all bad idea. All it did was come back and bite him in the ass. Alan Shipnuck came on the program yesterday. Great, great golf reporter. He came on and talked about what a miserable day it turned out to be for Rory.
The course is just taking his lunch money and pulled down his pants a few times, and this is one of the worst ones yet. I mean, And he fans his first drive almost into the merchandise tent. It's the worst drive I've literally ever seen Rory McIlroy hit in competition. It was off the planet. You could just see it. He had no belief in what he was doing out there. And, he played awful. By the back nine, he was an afterthought. I mean, this is the guy who everyone was it was going to be a coronation. This is going to be the missing piece in his resume. He'd become only the sixth player ever to win the Grand Slam. And he just slipped on the banana peel. I mean, it was hard to watch.
How about that? I mean, how about this guy going way out of his way, Rory, way out of his way the day before to say that guy, all the pressure's on him. And then Rory hits his first drive the next day, and it might have been his worst drive ever. This only hours after saying that guy over there, all the pressure's on him. Dead 45-degree angle off the box. I mean, Rory, what the hell? Couldn't have gone any worse. And it really does make you wonder. I know this guy's a young guy, but given the demons, given how badly he played, given how badly that day went, you got to wonder. And three shots back, coming in with a chance to tie it on a very makeable eagle early on, you wonder if Rory is ever going to be in that position ever again at Augusta. But like my man in Lou in Connecticut said, Augusta is the most beautiful place ever. And Jim Nance is there. That's true. Those two things aren't changing. Neither of those two things are changing.
A tradition unlike any other.
That's it. When I brought that up, when I used that phrase in the Elk podcast, he said he got chills. And then other PGA Tour members listening to that podcast got chills. Elk said guys were coming up to him at the Masters. Never mind the hundreds of clones that stopped him. He said other PGAers heard him on the podcast and were dying, including Jordan Spieth. Don't want to give him up. Yeah, I can see that. Jordan Spieth is a huge sports fan. He gets it. And Spieth almost had a round for the ages. A couple of makeable putts that if they drop, he's got a round for the ages. All right, when we come back, Kevin Sumlin, Arizona Wildcats head football coach, is my guest. Podcast Tuesday, Clint Malarchik joins me later. Look for that to drop later on. It is free. If you're subscribed, it will find you. You don't have to go looking for it. Got a sports update for you, though, right now. Here's the very latest on this Tuesday. Kevin Sumlin is coming up momentarily. We are efforting. This tweet is in anticipation of today's podcast. At SamSJR1961 tweets, heard your next podcast is with Clint Malarchik. I just finished the book, A Matter of Inches, yesterday. Great story. Looking forward to the podcast. Again, that's going to happen later on today. We'll tape that, drop that, push it out. At Salahandro tweets, we find out who we are with adversity. Tony Finau lights up Augusta. Hawk crawls onto the kitchen floor and lays there for hours. You know he's right, Hawk. He really is right. I would never compare you to a professional athlete, but he's got a point. This guy dislocates his ankle, pops it right back into place, and not only plays four rounds, finishes four rounds, but finishes top 10. You threw your back out and crawled into the kitchen and just laid there for several hours. You need like a clapper. Life alert, clapper, whatever it takes. At Brian C60, dead 45-degree angle. I can relate to that. Signed, Hawk, hanging out his car trunk with one shoe, looking like a flamingo. All right, as I'm efforting Kevin Sumlin, the head coach of the Arizona Wildcats, let's talk some Mets baseball. Now, you know me, I'm not an on-pace guy. I'm never going to be on-pace guy, but the Mets are on pace to win 144 games, which I think would be a record. They went into the district. They used the Nats as a push broom. Then they punked the Marlins last night in Miami on no sleep. And yes, I know it's early April. I know there are 153 left to play, but I know that Mickey Callaway's got this thing rolling. The lineup, the staff, that reformed group of arsonists on the back end. And if last year was all about the haters hating, This year is all about staying positive. Just ask this kid.
You know what? The Nationals are going to win the National League East. Just getting f***ed by the Mets. 3-0. Sweep. Let's f***ing go. Bryce Harper can f*** my fat ass. Just f*** Bryce Harper. F*** the Nationals. This f*** ass. 7-1. Come on now. And the ESPN announcers, oh, 55% chance that the Nationals are going to win. F*** them announcers, you know, always. It's always got to stay positive with the goddamn Mets. You never know. But f*** the Nats. Hold this f***ing nail.
This kid's refined his approach. He's tightened his game up. Cleaned it up a little bit. You heard him? Quote, you've always got to stay positive with the Mets. You never know. Right now, we are joined by the head football coach at the University of Arizona. He is entering his first season with the Wildcats. He was named head coach on January 14th. Three-time National Coach of the Year finalist. Three-time Conference Coach of the Year. Arizona coming off a 7-6 season. They open up against BYU on September 1st. Wildcats head coach, Kevin Sumlin. Kevin, good to have you back. How are you?
Great. How you been?
Good, man. Good. How you been?
I've been all right.
Good.
Been here in the sunshine and in the desert and not a cloud in the sky, so we're doing great.
That's good. All right, so bring me up to date. Spring practice is underway. Saturday is your spring game. What has spring practice been like so far, and what are you looking to see from your guys on Saturday?
Well, you know, it's been getting to know each other. You know, it's really the most time you get to spend with guys, and with the 20-hour rule now, we've been able to really get to know our players, but also let them get to know us. And building trust is a big deal, because I just believe that the sooner that you can build that trust, the sooner growth happens. And I've been pleased with our progress this spring.
You know, it's something, when you talk about trust, when you showed up and you were at your presser, there were a bunch of former Arizona players that showed up also. I want to get into that in a minute. But in terms of trust, some of the former players said they loved it when you said, quote, real growth happens when people trust you to tell them something they don't want to hear, end quote. Lay that out for me. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think, you know, many times as a coach, and there's two-way street there, you know, when you want to really help somebody or even help yourself, you need to be honest and look at not only the things that you're doing well, but also, you know, your shortcomings and not glaze those over. And it's not about, you know, how you say it, it's what you say. And the way to do that is for people to be able to trust you. And you're going to cover the good and bad things. And hopefully, you know, as these guys have gotten to know me and gotten to know our staff, we just tell you like it is, and when you can be honest with yourself, I think your shortcomings and realize that, hey, you're not perfect, but we're here to help you in those areas, both good and bad. And I think our guys, we're still in that process. You know, it's only been a few months, but as I said, I'm pleased with our growth at this point, because I think you know, when you get on the field and you really, really start to talk about, hey, here's what we want, but here's how we can help you, I think guys really appreciate that.
Kevin Sumlin, the head football coach at the University of Arizona. I think that's universal, Kevin. I've done this a long, long time. I don't ever remember a time where an athlete didn't say, hey, listen, nobody wants bad news, but shoot me straight. Just look me in the eye and tell me what it is and be honest, and I can handle that. It's always been that way. Now, when your time at Texas A&M came to an end, you had a lot of different options in front of you, both in terms of coaching, maybe taking a year off and doing some TV. Doing TV can be a pretty nice gig after the grind of coaching every single day, but you wanted to jump right back into it. Why was that? Why was that so important?
Well, I'll just say this. I really didn't want to jump right back into it.
Okay.
You know, it took some time to myself. You know, it was there were a lot of different situations, a lot of things that happened at A&M. And really stepped back and tried to take a deep breath. And, you know, when you do this as long as I have, you know, at first that's a great deal. And I got a lot of advice from different coaches, announcers, different guys that were working TV about what to do, and really just sat back and took a deep breath. And then, you know, as I said, you do this as long as I've done it, you know, I really started to get a little bit bored. But this opportunity came late, as you said. It was January 14th when I got hired here, which gave me some time to really sit back and look at, you know, where I was, what I wanted to do, And I think it's all about timing. And I had been to Tucson, actually been out here to visit and exchange ideas with a couple coaches and Coach Rodriguez. And so I knew the place and was very impressed when I came out. And so it wasn't like a situation I didn't know anything about. And as I said, it was the right time and the right place for me. And as late as it was, for some people, that wouldn't have been a good situation. But for me, it was after I had really taken that deep breath and knew a little bit about the place. And quite frankly, the leadership here and President Robbins and Dave Hickey had a vision. And we're excited about the vision and got me excited about it. And so I'm here. I'm in the Pac-12, and as I said, it's a beautiful place, and we're getting this thing rolling.
Arizona head football coach Kevin Sumlin, my guest. Now, you don't take a coaching job because of the talent that's necessarily on the roster at that moment, but at the same time, when you look at what Khalil Tate has done at quarterback and all the potential that's there, how excited do you get? How good can he be?
Well, obviously, when you start at that position, he's a dynamic player. And, I think the thing that we got to keep in mind is he's only played 7 games. So, it's every day is a learning experience for him, particularly with a new staff, new terminology, not a huge departure from what he did last year offensively, which I think that gave him a comfort factor. But, he's got tools, and he's in the process, as I said earlier today, we're talking about, moving him from an athlete that's a quarterback to a quarterback that's an athlete, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So, his understanding of coverages, his understanding of situational football, his understanding of leadership, are things that are still a work in progress because he hasn't played that much football, but he has been dynamic when he has played, and so that gets you excited as a coach.
We're talking to Kevin Sumlin. Kevin, you've had some really good quarterbacks, of course. Johnny Manziel's been attempting a comeback in an effort to return to the NFL. He's talked about some of the challenges that he's faced, many of which he created for himself. What kind of thoughts do you have when you see him attempting the comeback that he is?
Well, I've had conversations. Really, the first day that I got the job here, he called, and we've talked on and off over the years. And it's just coming back after being off that time is different. I think he's working really, really hard. And my conversations with him, and really training hard. I think as he's openly talked about, the people in his life that he's surrounded with now and his wife, he's comfortable with himself now and really, worked hard at change. And that's difficult, but he's faced that. I think he's openly talked about it and he really wants to play. And he's had discussions with a lot of different people, whether it was in different leagues to play. And I think his mindset right now is that, he's in a very, very different place than he was maybe, even 2 years ago.
Now, people frequently think of you and Manziel. He obviously is not your only former quarterback in the NFL. And after everything he's been through and how hard he's worked, not just to make it in the NFL, but to establish himself as an NFL quarterback, how proud were you of the year that Case Keenum had for the Vikings?
Yeah, how about that, huh? Here's a guy who's been cut from every team he's ever been on. He didn't get drafted, the all-time leading passer in college football history, and bounced around. One team actually called him. He was in a deer stand on Sunday, and he started the next Sunday. So
right.
Just a great story, and a guy who is a relentless worker, a guy who's positive all the time in spite of all those things. And it's, how it is, Jim. It's great to see good things happen to good people. And I don't know that there's a better person out there than Case Keenum.
Ken, what about that point you just made? I mean, a relentless worker, sure, but I love that line about how this guy's positive no matter what. No matter what happens to this guy's positive. Is he just wired for that? Or can you consciously make a decision, that's who I'm going to be? I'm going to be positive no matter what happens in my life.
Yeah, I think he's wired that way. He's guys, but like I said, not only he's cut from every team he's on, he's been cut twice by the same team. You go through the thing on Hard Knocks where people get a little insight into him, and he's gone from there. And you know, to bounce around and get a one-year contract. I remember talking to him last summer and said, hey, I got a one-year deal, and I'm going to Minnesota to make the best of it. And you look up and, you know, you're a game away from going to the Super Bowl. So, you know, anything can happen. It usually doesn't. But to positive people and guys like that to keep working and surround themselves with other positive people, in you know, his dad was a coach, and around him, Kimberly, his wife, they're just great people no matter what happens. And he's been through a lot, but obviously that's paid off, and he's never changed. It's never up, he's never down, and you know, that's hard to do, but that's a mature guy and a guy that really, you know, over the course of time could have gone the other way, but instead he's really done some great things, had a great year, and has got a new challenge ahead of him this year.
Kevin Sumlin, my guest. Kevin, one last thought about Arizona before I cut you loose. You know they've never been to a Rose Bowl, but when you were hired, you said it's going to happen. What have you seen in the program and in the structure around it that makes you feel that way?
Well, it started, as I said, Jim, with the administration and you know, visiting with them before I was hired. President Robbins and Dave Hickey had a clear vision of the future. And you know, with anything, it starts at the top. You know, do you care? How much do you care? You know, we're breaking ground on a new indoor facility here on Monday, and we would have done it earlier, but we're practicing out there. So, just things like that. Hey, listen, we're here to support you. We're going to give you the finances and the support that you need to be successful. And you know, you don't do that unless you're serious about, you know, winning, and that's the bottom line. You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to just play a little football, or you want to win championships? And so, I like their approach. As I said, it starts at the top, and we got as good administration as I've ever been around. And well, look, and basically the question was, hey, listen, you know, we've never been to the Rose Bowl, and I said it's going to happen, you know, but so why not us? Why not now? So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. We recognize that, but we got some things in place here and a beautiful campus and a lot of quality support, so that gives us a real chance.
The spring game is Saturday, and Arizona's opening up against BYU on September 1st. Their head coach, Kevin Sumlin, my guest. Kevin, great to get caught up. Really nice to have you on the show. Appreciate that so much, Kevin. Thanks so much.
All right, appreciate you having me, Jim.
You too, Kevin. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Kevin Sumlin joining us. Right, Wildcat fans, I'm out of time right now, but if you want to shoot me a note on Twitter, go ahead and do it. If you want to reset that tomorrow, go ahead and do that. Huge call today brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com. My thanks to Kevin Sumlin. Also today, Stedman Bailey. I hope you heard that one. That was an amazing interview. The Jim Rome podcast drops later on today. Clint Malarchik is going to join me. You don't want to miss that. I'm really eager to talk to him. That's coming up later on. We'll have that for you. And then right back at it tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you then. We're out.